There's been reaction from the business community to President Trump's temporary order suspending entry into the U.S. for people from a number of Muslim-majority countries. Starbucks is promising to hire 10,000 refugees around the world over the next 5 years. Lyft is pledging $1 million for the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, which has been fighting the order in court. Google has set up a crisis fund, and Airbnb is offering free housing to people who can't enter the U.S. because of the order. Derek Thompson is senior editor at The Atlantic. He joins us from New York. Hi, Derek.
Hi, Jeremy.
So when you look at these companies pushing back against the president, some of the ones we mentioned there are companies from Silicon Valley, but what's the motivation?
You know, there's some policies where it'd be simple to explain the motivation behind such a strong reaction. You know, if the president makes it harder to for tech companies, let's say, to hire foreign PhDs, you would just say, all right, well, this policy affects the bottom line for these companies. This is clearly just about economics. But the reaction from Silicon Valley and the reaction beyond Silicon Valley in the business world has been something more like moral disgust, that this is a policy that isn't merely about economics. It's about people trying to scale up and say this is about questions regarding who are we as Americans. Google's founder went to protest at FSO in San Francisco's International Airport. The CEO of Box said, quote, on every level, moral, humanitarian, economic, logical, the ban was wrong. So you have this outpouring of moral sentiment that's coming from the business community and, I must say, particularly from the tech community.
But also from others. Ford CEO Mark Fields today said that he opposes the ban. He's the first CEO of a major U.S. automaker to do so.
Right. You have a lot of non-tech businesses right now who are coming out and sometimes being a little bit more measured. GE's response simply expressed concern. Ford, as you said, became the first major U.S. automaker to criticize the immigration order. Goldman Sachs has made it clear that they don't support the order. Starbucks was even more forceful. So, yes, I do think this is something where the tech community, I think, has been the most outspoken and certainly the most shared on social media. But you're beginning to see something of a herding effect here with corporations seeing that if they remain silent, their silence itself will be the deafening thing.
Well, let's talk about what happened with Uber and Lyft over the weekend, because they seem to be on the opposite side of things for a time.
It's certainly fascinating. So here's the story. The New York City taxi lobby encouraged its members, many of whom are Muslim, to strike for an hour at JFK. Uber, however, stayed open for business, as it were, which meant that Uber drivers were essentially breaking the strike and undercutting the protest, which a lot of people caught on to and started tweeting #DeleteUber and other things critical of Uber, which essentially got Lyft, an Uber competitor, to announce in response that it was going to make a $1 million donation, as you said, to the ACLU. So here you have Lyft seeing a business opportunity, certainly a marketing opportunity, to step over Uber and its CEO's response, which was seen as being too wishy-washy. Then Uber, in response to Lyft, says that it's going to create a $3 million legal defense fund for drivers and finally comes out and says the executive order is wrong and unjust. So the upshot of this story is not merely this little tit-for-tat, but the way that corporate responses to the Trump administration are going to feed off each other and create this social influence whereby the reactions are going to snowball over 24 hours, 48 hours, as companies realize there is a marketing advantage in addition to a moral imperative to stand up against these sort of initiatives.
I have to say, just on a side note about that, I did find it odd that the taxi drivers in New York who were trying to protest this order stopped driving to JFK, because I imagine a lot of the people that wanted to go to JFK at that time were protesters who wanted
to be upset
to get there, or people getting off of planes after they had been through a lot of interrogation and then wanted to get into the city.
And I would just say, Jeremy, this is a tough thing about public protests. You've seen people complaining, I couldn't get access to JFK because there were too many people protesting. Mm. Or in previous protests, I couldn't drive to, get home from work because there were people protesting in the roads. And so you have these waves and backlashes that are happening with the responses to the Trump administration's actions.
Well, and it does put these companies in a difficult position, it sounds like, because we had heard a lot about companies trying to curry favor with Trump and do things that he wanted them to do, announce big plans to, put new jobs in the United States or not move a factory out of the country. But at the same time, in this case, it sounds like they're stuck between their customers who want them to do something and the president who wants them to do the opposite.
The other thing to put in there, I mean, everything that you said is absolutely right. And the others, the sword of Damocles, or the sword of Twitter, literally, that's hanging over their head, is the possibility that Donald Trump, if he's mad at Lyft or mad at Ford or mad at Oracle or something, is going to tweet something terrible about that company, and their stock price is going to fall. And now they violated their fiduciary duty by potentially coming out too aggressively in response to an executive order. So I do think that they're walking a fine line between expressing personal feelings about morality and what America is for and its long-term relationship with the immigrant community of the rest of the world, while not trying to invoke the president of the United States' anger, in which case he could tweet absolutely anything at 6:30 in the morning and crash your stock.
That's Derek Thompson at The Atlantic. Derek, thanks.
Thank you.